Anybody this morning here have a need? Anybody need anything this morning? Okay, all right, beautiful. Anybody want some spiritual guidance about how to get what you need? Anybody here would like to know how to solve problems? Yes, awesome. Okay, good. So these scriptures this morning are going to give you a template, something you can follow, a model by which you can solve every single problem for your life. Isn't that awesome this morning? Yes? Now, the question always is, are you going to put to practice what I'm going to teach this morning? I'm going to preach and teach, right? And you're going to do, right, what the principles are being brought forth this morning, right? Awesome. This is going to be awesome this morning. Okay, ready? All right, beautiful. Let's turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to give you a story here of what transpired during biblical times with Elisha, one of the prophets of God, who God used after Elijah to be amongst the people as a prophet, as a teacher, and as somebody people went to for help to solve their problems. That's who Elisha was. So he followed in the footsteps of Elijah. And he was given a double blessing, twice as many powers than Elijah had, because that's what he had prayed for. So he now begins to put this power to work. And I'm going to transfer this same power that Elisha had through me to you, so that you can solve all the problems for your life. Awesome? Awesome. Wonderful. Beautiful. So we'll begin at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. One day, the widow of one of Elisha's fellow prophets came to Elisha and cried out to him, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take away my sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting the jars aside as they were filled." So let's begin here, and let me give you a backdrop of what's transpired here. What we see is a widow, a woman whose husband had died, who had been one of the servants or prophets with Elisha. So this obviously was a man of God, and he's now since died, and this woman has lost everything financially because of that. And so she now has creditors coming to her house. They're going to take the house away, take all the property that she has. They're gonna sell it all off, and they're going to take her sons and put them into slavery to get paid back. This is the way it was in biblical times. If you owed money to somebody, which obviously the husband and wife had, what happens is you lose everything, and they sell it all, and then your debts are paid. Some things have changed a little bit in our culture today, but for those of us sometimes that have debts, the creditors come knocking on the door. We've got to figure a way to pay them back, right? So Elisha says, "Well, what do you have in your house?" So she says, "Nothing, except a flask of olive oil." Now, when she says nothing, what this then we can surmise is this. Everything, the furniture, the lamps, the cooking utensils, her furniture, I already mentioned that, the clothing, everything she already had a big garage sale and yard sale to try to raise as much money as she could to pay back the debt. It's all gone, right? So she did her part to try to pay off this debt. You notice that? Right. And the only thing she has left is a little flask of olive oil. Small. I don't know if you can see this as a few ounces of olive oil that's left. And you have to understand, why did she keep this one little flask of olive oil? Well, what was olive oil used for in biblical times? Cooking, lighting, anointing. Her husband most likely used that olive oil to anoint people, to pray over them, to heal them. So she probably kept that flask of, that was the last thing she was going to give up. Because it was a part of her husband, a part of his ministry, right? Something precious to her. She wasn't about to sell that olive oil to get money. You understand? And in her mind, she says, I have nothing except for this olive oil. Now, sometimes in our lives, when we're going through problems and going through situations in our life, and or whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whatever needs or problems we might have, how many times when God asks you the question, what do you have to solve this problem? What do most of us often say? I've got nothing. I've got no one. I only have this little bit of olive oil that I use to minister with. That's all I have. Sometimes in our mind, we humans, we often see ourselves as having what? Not enough. Having nothing. Nothing to offer, nothing to solve our problem, no way out. Anybody here ever get to a point of no return where you think this is the end and there's no solution for me? Our mind sometimes does that, right? Elisha's going to prove to her, and I'm going to prove to you this morning, that when you have nothing in the material, that's kind of sometimes a good thing, isn't it? Because who do you have or what do you have? We're going to find out. Verse 5. So Elisha first, of course, tells her, poor, go into your house with your sons. I'll back up. Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting the jars aside as they are filled. Now, wait a minute. Let's get a picture of this. I've got this little flask of olive oil. Can you see it, how big it is? A few ounces. I might be able to anoint everybody in the room with it, or I might run out. Right? What do you see in the natural? Not much. Not enough. Not enough to go around, right? I certainly couldn't anoint thousands and thousands of people with this olive oil, could I? So I want you to get the picture of what this woman had at her disposal. Not much. Not enough. Like some of you, right? When you're going through a troubling situation in your life, sometimes we look at our life and we say, what do I have? Not much. Certainly not enough to solve this, whatever that. She's got creditors knocking on her door, right? She sold everything she had. This is all she has. Not much, right? And what does Elisha, the teacher, say to her? Go to all your friends and neighbors and get as many empty jars as you possibly can, right? Now, I don't know about you. When you have a problem, how many of you go running around asking your friends and neighbors for help, if we were truthful? What kind of gets in our way? A little pride. I'm not going to ask anybody for some empty jars. First of all, think about this. You know that you have no money left. You know that there's nothing you can do. You know that you owe this debt, right? And maybe you're ashamed or embarrassed by that even, right? Maybe this woman squandered all of her husband's money that he had left behind. We don't know the story. So her shame and her guilt might very well do what? Stop her from going and asking for help, right? Pride very often is a great inhibitor to us getting our problems solved. So can we give up our pride this morning? When you need something from God, no matter how you got to where this, you are in your problem, it's where maybe you might have caused it, you might be responsible, you might not be responsible, it might be totally out of your control. But if God says to you, go ask all your friends and neighbors for help, go ask all your friends and neighbors for as many empty jars as you can get, what do you think you're going to do? In the next verse, in verse 6, it said, so she did as Elisha told her. Amen. First step in solving a problem. Do what God tells you to do. If someone gives you, if you come to someone who is a great leader and teacher in spiritual things, and that spiritual teacher says to you, well, what I want you to do is go ask your friends and neighbors for empty jars, what should you do? Go ask your friends and neighbors for empty jar. Have you got an empty jar by chance?
I have.
Well, you have an empty jar. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, I need this. Thank you. I've got at least one. Anybody else got an empty jar they would be willing to give me? If you had one, would you give it?
Yes.
Oh, what? The whole room. The whole room is going to give empty jars. Right? Oh, here's one here, too. I can grab this one. Oh, here's another. Oh, look, there's one over here. I've got another one. So I'm going to take all the empty jars from as many friends and neighbors as I possibly can, right? I'm going to ask for help from as many people as I possibly can to pray for me, right? When I go ask for the jar, I'm going to say, listen, Elisha sent me and he said I have a problem to be solved and you can help me. Give me your empty jar, please. And what do people do? They throw off the flour, right? They empty the jar. Even if the jar was full, they go, oh, I'll go find one in my attic. I'll go find one. Oh, that's up north. Oh, down here. I'll go down to my cellar and get some empty jars, right? Up north, too, yes. Right? Do whatever it takes to ask for help, right? If God says to you or some leader says to you that you come for in prayer and ask for a solving of a problem, if we tell you a book to read, read that book. If we tell you to go in for 40 days to fast and to just pray,
do it.
If we say to you, get as many people together as you possibly can to pray over the situation, bring in your checkbook, put it on the altar, and we'll pray over it. If you've got a problem with a person in your past, bring a picture of them, put it on the altar, we'll pray for it. What are you going to do?
Do it.
Does it sound hokey and spooky and woo-woo? Sometimes, right? What? You want me to do what? Right? If we tell you to wear purple for 42 days and 72 nights, what are you going to do?
Do it.
Very good. So the first thing is this. Well, let's backtrack. The first thing this widow did was what? Went to Elisha and said, I have a problem. It's perfectly okay to go to someone in a pastoral realm or some friend or someone that has a spiritual meaning to them to ask for their advice, right? It's okay to do that. It's okay to ask for help. No one's going to judge you, correct? Don't let pride stop you from getting that help. All right. And she cries out to Elisha, right? It's okay to express what you're feeling. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I don't know where to turn. I have no idea how it could be this bad, and I don't know what the heck I'm going to do to get myself out of this mess. Right? It's okay to express that. Understand? You have to be willing to ask for help, no matter how big and brave and smart you are. Right? Don't let pride get in your way. And then whatever that teacher, that prophet tells you to do, you do it. All right. So get the picture. We got this little flask, teeny tiny ounces of flask, and he says, take your sons inside of your house, and then pour this oil that doesn't look like much of anything and pour it into the empty jars. Right?
Up all night.
So she starts to pour. And what do you think starts to happen? Well, what happens? Well, let's read what happens. It says here, her sons brought her many jars to her. And not only did she go, her sons went with her too, right? See that? She got help from her sons. And she brought them into the house, and she filled. How much? Filled it all the way up, right? Every one of them was filled. The oil flowed. It was multiplied. What happened? Who stepped in? God. Soon, every container was full to the brim. Can you get the picture? Here she's in this empty room. Nothing in it whatsoever but a bunch of jars, right? That once were empty. A little flask of oil. She pours it and pours it and pours it and pours it. And then here's what happens. She says, bring me another jar. There aren't any more. Then the olive oil stopped flowing. Ran out of empty jars? That's when the oil runs out. Look at it this way. When you stop trying to supply your own needs and trying to fill it with your own answers, right? And you come empty to God and say, I'm empty, I'm out of ideas, I have no idea what to do next, I have no options available to you, to me, or anyone else, right? But you say that out and you empty out what you do have, your own self-reliance. See, the problem with most of us is we're so self-reliant and so self-sufficient that we think we can solve our own problems, don't we, some of us? When you're trying to solve anything, when we're trying to solve anything in our church, how's the answer going to come? From God. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, she obviously goes back and gets Elisha and reports back, right? And he says, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts. And there will be enough money left over to support you and your sons for the rest of your life. Wow. What did God do there? Well, let's look at the spiritual principle, shall we? What did this woman have? That was the question, right, that Elisha asked. What do you have? When you have nothing, what do you have? You have God. When you have God, you have everything. What did she have? She had faith, right? I'm going to go do this stupid, ridiculous thing by embarrassing myself, knocking on people's doors and asking them for empty jars. And they're going to think I got an empty head and something's going on hoo-hoo here because, you know, her husband just died and maybe she's out there, but we'll give her the jars anyway. Ooh, we know all about her, right? But she didn't care, did she? What did she believe in more? God and God's power. Do you see what having faith can do? Faith in even the ridiculous. Faith in even the, this doesn't make no sense to me. Faith in the, well, this, I mean, I don't have a plan for that. I got to get a committee and talk about whether or not this is going to work. Okay, well, let's do a focus group and then we'll sit down together and I don't know about, what do you think about the jar? Should we get the right side of the jar? I don't know, where are we going to get some jars? I don't know about do you have any oil? How about getting some oil from out of here? You see what we often do when we try to solve our problems? We try to figure it all out, don't we? See, what did this woman have? She had a need, so great a need that it got past her pride, didn't it? When we're willing to say, I've had enough of what this lack is, or this problem is, or this concern is, or this whatever is, when we've had enough, we make up our mind, you know what? I'm going to the person of God and asking for help. I'm finally going to do it today. I'm going to get over this situation. I'm going to get over this addiction. I'm going to get over this lack. I'm going to get over this problem once and for all. And doggone it, I'm going to get up some bravery and I'm going to go tell him I need help. First step in solving a problem, right? Ask for help. And then have the faith that somehow you believe, whether it doesn't sound or make sense, you believe somehow, some way, God will solve the problem. And that you will do whatever it takes for that problem to be solved. Right? And then what happens? God does the rest. God does the rest. See, sometimes we always or may not know what the solution is. Do you know that there are millions and millions and millions and millions of ways that God can solve your problem? Even when you think you don't have enough, even of faith? That's why God puts people together. See, the reason Elisha sent her out to her friends and neighbors was so that she could ask for help from others. And don't people want to help when you have a problem? Yes. Doesn't a church want to help? Yes. Now, do you notice that Elisha could have simply done something really miraculous instantaneously? Couldn't he have? He could have been by himself with her in that empty room and said, okay, God, give this woman money from heaven. And manna from heaven falls down and boom, miraculously she has it, right? How does God get glorified in that? How do you learn a spiritual lesson in that? How do you know what to do the next time if that's the way God solves your problems all the time? You see what I'm saying? Do you notice that it did take some effort on her part? For those of you that want fairy wand solutions to your problem, you know, we hit you with a fairy wand thingy, you know, and magic, boom, you're boom, 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 boink, 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 boom, boink. Everything is wonderful instantaneously, and you sit there and do nothing. How does that help you grow for the next time? Does it really?
No.
See, is another problem possibly going to come your way? Possibly. How are you going to get through the next problem? You come back to the fairy wand person, right? What do you think this woman learned from Elisha that day? To believe. Her faith will be rewarded. Nothing is impossible with God. God can solve a problem any which way God wants to, right? And if I let my pride go, and if I stop trying to fix it myself by having all kinds of yard sales, thinking that's a solution to everything, this is my only way to solve something is this way, right? If we open our mind to the multiplicity of options that we might have at our disposal, right? And we listen to God's instructions, whatever they may be, and we do them. So much about her and so much about Elisha. I promised this morning to give you the solution for all of your life problems, right? What do you think it is? This is a secret. What?
Ask God.
Oh, ask God. Now, that's way too simple. You mean for every problem you have, you just say, hey, God, I have a problem.
Yep.
And then you listen, and God says, okay, go call this person. Go talk to that one. Go read this book. Open up the scriptures. Go to a support group. Go do this. Go do that. And then you do what?
Do it.
You promise? Because I know there's going to be some of you in here that are going to go, no, wait a minute. I don't mind asking God for some help. But, you know, when I got to talk to you in your office, I'm not going in there. Shh, don't tell him about the trap door. Don't tell him about the bolt. The silent room, right? And you go in there and then you tell all your stuff and then you hear what God says for you to do, right? And then you walk out and go, got out of there, life. And then you have your homework to do. Anybody ever been given homework in counseling if they've ever sat with me? Yes. Oh, yeah, you see the hands go up, right? How many of you have done it? And how is that problem working out for you? Did it get solved? Only when what? You do the homework. You do the legwork, right? See, God does give gifts of wisdom and knowledge. That's a spiritual gift that some of us have. And some of the things that we often ask you to do, even as a church, because we want to grow, right? And I'm saying to you, we need to pray that God opens up this church in a larger capacity and brings in a lot more people and gives us a diverse congregation. That's what we're praying for, right?
Yes.
How's that going to happen?
Through God
doing it. What are we going to do? Pray, right? And whatever idea that God gives us to act on, we're going to do it. Awesome. See? All right, so what are the steps to solving a problem? Number one. Before that, don't try to solve it by yourself. Okay, you got that one now. You're wasting a lot of energy. Doing stuff that doesn't work. Okay? Got it? All right. So before you brainstorm your answers, right, and you're going to figure it out for yourself, what are you going to do instead? Go to God first. Got it? Where are you going? God first. And if you go to a godly leader and you say your problem, and that person gives you the answer that God reveals to them and says, go get some empty jars from everywhere, then you do what?
Do it.
You do it. How easy is that? Isn't that easy? All right, so what are the steps again? We're going to learn by repetition. Anybody in the room have a problem? Besides me? All of us? Some of you are my problems? Oh. Whoa. I'm a problem to you most of the time. All right. Step one. Go to God. Very good. I heard it in the back row. Go to God. A plus for you. You have a problem? And what are you going to do with it? Go to God. Very good. Next step. Listen to God, what God tells you to do. If God sends you to a person that gives you good, sound advice or crazy sounding advice, you do it. And then watch what God does. And if God says, go ask for some help from some others, put down your pride, right? And you go and ask for that help, whatever that might be. I need $5. Who's got it? I'll give you one. Thank you. I'm in the wrong ground. You're in the wrong crowd. I know you already gave it all to God. I understand. I'm just checking to see how many of you are going to give me an empty jar. You'd find a way, though, wouldn't you? You'd find a way. All right. So, what do you have?
Everything.
What do you need? Doesn't matter. When you thought you had a little, because you have God, you have more than enough. Overflowing, right? And lots left over to take care of you for the entire rest of your life. God doesn't just fix the little problem over here. He gives you leftovers. He gives you double what you asked for. Isn't God great and awesome? So put God to the test. See what God will do for you. Have a problem? Give it to the Lord. And then come back and tell us all just exactly how miraculous God worked it all out for you in your life. Amen?